That sort of thing.
Now, technically, you're supposed to assess NSF programs, ground-based programs, and so forth.
It's all in there.
But really, people are looking for who's on the A-list.
That's what people are most interested in, is knowing the recommendations that we make with respect to NASA flight projects, because that's where the bulk of the money gets spent. The document starts from the science, and chapters 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 are basically all about, or mostly about science. We don't actually get into the mission recommendations until the 9th chapter of the report. But yes, there is, of course, interest in that topic.
So let's set the stage. There are three kinds of missions.
Yep.
Flagships, which are the most expensive.
Right.
Medium class, which have been labeled New Frontiers. And also the smaller ones, Discovery, which will continue to be competed. You really didn't dwell
on
those.
Yes. Our statement of task on Discovery was quite explicit, that while we could recommend adjustments to the Discovery program, changes in the cadence of AOs, changes in the cost cap, and so forth, that we should not, and indeed we would not, even if the statement of task had said that, we were not encouraged to suggest specific priorities for the Discovery program, because the whole idea behind Discovery is these are low-cost, fast-turnaround missions that draw on the creativity of the community.
And the technology of the moment.
And you don't want to be, for something like that that's supposed to be a quick-turnaround, nimble program, you don't want to lock things in a decade into advance. If you look at the last Discovery announcement of opportunity that came out, NASA got 28 proposals in response to that. There is a huge number of clever ideas out there in the community, and we wouldn't want to do anything to stifle that creativity.
All right, so let's take it from the top down. The flagship missions, these are multi-billion dollar missions. Your highest recommendation was to start the process of going back to Mars and getting a sample. So
yes.
How did that end up on top?
There were two missions that rose right up to the very top in terms of their science return per dollar, and they were the same two missions that rose up to the top in the last decadal survey. It was Mars sample return and a Jupiter Europa orbiter mission. The reason that MAX-C came out, MAX-C being the Mars sample return initiation, came out as the highest recommendation by a slim margin, was that it was an easier bite to digest in terms of its total overall cost. We were concerned not just with the science, but also with maintaining programmatic balance. The projected cost of the Europa mission, as it was described to us, was $4.7 billion. That's FY15 dollars. And that is a very, very big chunk to swallow. So one of our recommendations for JEO, which has a very, very high priority, is that NASA immediately begin a process of substantially de-scoping that, so the cost can be brought down and the increment in funding necessary to the planetary program to bring that mission about be as small as possible. So we hope that NASA will start on the process of de-scoping JEO as soon as possible, because we really want to see that mission fly.
And so the MAX-C, is that going to happen within the time frame of your VISTA, which is 2013 to 22?
We very much hope that it will. However, we also recommend a substantial de-scope to that mission as well. That mission, as currently conceived, is part of a three-mission sequence to be conducted jointly with the European Space Agency to return samples of Mars. The first one collects and caches a sample. Second one takes that sample and puts it into orbit. Third one captures it from orbit and brings it back to Earth. Only MAX-C, only the first of those three, would take place in the decade in question. The problem is that that mission as currently conceived, which would deliver not one but two rovers to the surface, the NASA MAX-C rover, and then also the European ExoMars rover, the cost estimate for that one came out at $3.5 billion. And that, to us, was too high. Again, there's this issue of programmatic balance. You don't want to skew the program too far in any one direction, and that would be skewing it, in the view of our community, too far in the direction of Mars. So we recommend that NASA carry out MAX-C in the coming decade, if and only if it can be done at a cost to the agency of no more than $2.5 billion. That represents a substantial reduction in scope. Now, that number was not arrived at arbitrarily. First of all, it was the judgment of our panels and our steering committee that at $2.5 billion, the science per dollar for that one was justifiable. Moreover, we also did an estimate of what it would cost to use the Mars Science Laboratory Entry, Descent, and Landing System to deliver a single rover, smaller than MSL, that would do the sample collection and caching task. Not two rovers, but one. And that came out at a little under $2.5 billion, with lots and lots of margin on it. So we feel, and that would be a NASA-only mission. Now, we don't think NASA-only is the right way to do it, because we want to maintain that partnership with ESA, because we want to see ESA participation in the second and third components of the campaign. But if it's possible for NASA alone to deliver a good rover for $2.5 billion, then NASA and ESA together sure as heck ought to be able to do it.
All right, so the New Frontiers.
Yeah.
Winners and losers there.
We got a bunch of winners. We looked at a whole bunch of New Frontiers candidates, and we identified seven that we thought had particularly high merit, and those were the ones that bubbled up to the top. For New Frontiers 4, we have five candidates. They are a comet surface sample return, a lunar far side South Pole Aitken Basin sample return, a Venus lander, a Trojan asteroid tour and rendezvous, and a Saturn probe. Really exciting set of missions, and very nice balance across the solar system. So we recommend that NASA pick one of those five for New Frontiers 4. And of course, if the New Frontiers 3 selection already picks one of those off the tree, then you discard that one and you got four to choose from. Then, for New Frontiers 5, we add two more to the mix. One is an Io Explorer. So this is a spacecraft that goes into a highly elliptical orbit around Jupiter and does multiple flybys of Io. And then the last one is a lunar geophysical network, which would put a network of geophysical stations on the moon, and not just on the near side like on Apollo, but the whole thing. There's no relative prioritization among those missions.
Why not?
Because we leave it to the peer review process to sort it out. They were all so high up in terms of their science return per dollar that we felt that it was best to leave it to careful peer review.
But aren't you the peer review process? I mean, you had...
But you got to realize what we're reviewing here are mission concepts. These are supposed to be PI-led missions, where a PI puts a team together, selects a payload, selects a spacecraft contractor, designs the mission, you know, lots more detail. And they may have to, you know, some of these missions are pretty hard to do within our recommended New Frontiers cost cap. Look at Juno. Decadal recommended a Jupiter mission that would include a probe. And when the Juno team put their proposal together, they felt they couldn't afford a probe. So they left it out, they put in other science instead, and they got selected. So you need to kind of leave it to the peer review process.
So the winner and loser there will be decided by the details of the actual concepts brought forward.
That's right, exactly.
And so you mentioned the European Space Agency. To what extent did you look at the worldwide landscape?
Very much so. Now, of course, this is the U.S. Planetary Decadal Survey. We do not make recommendations to ESA or, you know, Japanese space agencies or anyone else. But we recognized right from the start that international participation in some of these missions would be important, and in a few of them would be absolutely enabling. Okay, so we had international membership on the panels. We had an international membership on our steering group. We kept very closely tied into what was going on in the international arena, and our recommendations were made with, I think, pretty much full cognizance of what's happening.
Did you have any favorites that didn't quite make the cut that you're sort of wincing and wish they had?
Next question. I can't answer that on the record, Kelly. I mean, we had 25 mission candidates. We'd have a great program if we flew all of them. You know, so tough choices had to be made.
Well, one of the hits on prior decadal surveys is that they haven't done a good enough job of costing out and being realistic. Do you think you've really accomplished that?
I hope that we have. In fairness to past decadals, no one was ever told to do that before. If you look at the statement of tasks for previous decadals, it didn't say anything about, you know, do cost assessments and make sure you put something forward realistic. So I think it's simply that a lesson that has been learned is that if you want the decadal survey to be followed closely, then you need to provide guidance that is realistic and actionable. And so we tried to do that.
Are you worried that the overruns of the Webb telescope is going to be decimating the space science landscape, or is that for NASA to sort out?
Well, certainly the Webb overruns are troubling because they're so large. Ed Weiler has a lot of influence at NASA, but he doesn't print dollar bills in his office, as far as I know. He's got to get his money from somewhere. It's a concern. What we've tried very hard to do in our decadal is to produce a set of missions that stands strongly on its own in terms of its science merits, with a set of very hard-nosed, very conservative cost numbers attached that I hope are not the kinds of underestimates that you would not like to have. How it's going to play out depends on what future funding is going to look at, and my crystal ball is a little cloudy in that regard.